The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You would think seven Super Bowls would be enough to secure Tom Brady's place as the greatest to ever do it, but the 43-year-old is far from satisfied. Welcome to NFL Live, alongside Marcus Spears and also Rob Ninkovich. I am Field Yates, and it is indeed the summer of Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a busy man over these next couple of months. That's going to include a golf match with Phil Mickelson as his partner against Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau. That's going to be fun. That'll be in early July. He also recently appeared on The Late Late Show with James Corden, where he revealed how much or little he thinks about being the NFL's GOAT. Have a listen.
Do you ever think, what more have I got to do in the sport?
You know, it's hard to walk away from something that, you know, you still feel like you can do and you want to do. So
sure.
It's not about proving it to others,
right,
what you could do. It's more about proving it to yourself. And I still feel like, even though I'll be 44 this year, I still have a chance to still, you know, prove it to myself that I can still do it at 44, because I've really worked to a point where I can, you know, still do it at this age.
There's one thing being, like, really good at something. There's something else about being the greatest of all time. How often do you think about that?
I don't.
Really?
No, because I don't.
Never. You never sit and think, at what I do, I'm the best.
It's like saying, you know, what do you like better, steak, fish, chicken? I mean, everything's good.
First of all, James is absolutely correct. It is steak out of those three choices, but I digress. Swagoo, are you buying what Tom Brady is selling, that he doesn't think about being the greatest of all time?
Hell no, babyface. I ain't buying that.
Of course.
Tom Brady has literally lived his entire career with a chip on his shoulder. He finds ways to motivate himself. He just told the organization they stupid as hell for not wanting him and keeping their current quarterback, even though we don't know who that is. If that doesn't seem like a guy that thinks about him being the greatest of all time, I don't know what it's supposed to look like. And listen, I'm not saying this as an indictment on Tom Brady. He's supposed to think that way. But obviously, when you're in front of cameras, it's not so inviting to tell everybody, yeah, I think about being the GOAT, because I am the GOAT. He's the greatest player of all time in the NFL, based on accomplishments individually and also team accomplishments. Tom Brady thinks about it. Now, y'all gonna let Nink tell y'all how humble he is and how such of a great guy he is, and I don't doubt those things in his personal life. But when it comes to football, Tom Brady know damn well he think about being the GOAT.
Listen, Mark. Come on now, Marcus. Listen. Tom Brady is the constant, and he's always a professional. And I would say this. Maybe the joke is on us, because we all know that he's a vegan and he doesn't even eat steak. He doesn't eat steak or chicken. He might eat a fish every now and then, but I wouldn't say that he even eats that much. He's having his vegetables, and he's laughing at everybody else eating all that red meat and stuff like that. So listen. I just think that Tom is very humble in a setting like that. In an interview, he's always going to say, no, I don't think about it. He knows in the back of his head, as a competitor, because he's the ultimate competitor, when he's on that football field, of course he's confident. He's cocky. He's going to say something to some. If a defender comes in his face, he's going to talk back to him, just like we've seen Peyton Manning do, all the great quarterbacks do. But in an interview, I don't think that he's that type of guy to go out beyond thinking like he's just a great football player. He understands that. He's not going to say he's the greatest of all time, but we all know he's the greatest of all time. Come on, Marcus, let's go, baby.
Yeah, let's be clear, Robbie. He can be humble and modest and all that, but Tom Brady, you're the GOAT. We have established that, honestly, like 15 years ago, but we keep talking about it because you won't retire. You're 43 and going as strong as ever.
At first,
what do you got, Swagoo?
What GOAT you know? In any sport, any level, don't think about being the GOAT. I know Jordan thought about being the GOAT. I know Muhammad Ali thought about being the GOAT. I know Mayweather thinks about being the GOAT, and LeBron James. And, oh, so Tom Brady is the anomaly in thinking about it. Y'all go ahead with all that. I'm gonna miss me.
this much is for sure. We all agree he is the GOAT. And Tom Brady, I know if you're watching right now, you probably agree with us. You're just too modest to admit it yourself. But let's go from the Bucs quarterback to the teams trying to catch up to the Bucs as a team. So since 2000, there have been 21 Super Bowl winners. Correct. Seven of them failed to make the playoffs the year prior to their championship. And more than half, 11 to be exact, did not win a playoff game before winning it all the next year, like Tampa Bay. Meanwhile, only one team has won it all after losing the Super Bowl in the prior year. That was the 2018 Patriots. And only one team has followed a title with a second consecutive Lombardi Trophy. You guessed it, the Patriots back in 2003 and 2004. Let's talk sleepers, swagoo. If you can give me five teams that are sleepers, and we're defining a sleeper as a team that didn't win a playoff game last year, who would it be?
Well, first, Phil, I got to give you my five. Arizona, Minnesota, Tennessee Titans, the Colts, and the Patriots. I believe all of these teams I just listed have a legitimate shot. Now, obviously, they need things to go their way, but nobody's talking about Arizona. And if you look at what Arizona did this offseason and what they acquired, if they can get the same type of production from Kyler Murray that he had earlier in the season, that's a team to be reckoned with. Also getting J.J. Watt. We know Chandler Jones is coming back off of an injury, who's one of the elite, prolific pass rushers. Vance Joseph, that defensive coordinator, they signed A.J. Green in the offseason, and we all know D-Hop is still there. Fitty is still there. When you look at Minnesota, this one is really intriguing to me because we've been talking about the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers situation. We've talked about the Chicago Bears and the quarterback situation and whether Justin Fields will start or not. But if you look at Minnesota and you think about how quiet it has been, if you think about Danielle Hunter coming back off of an injury, if you think about re-signing Sheldon Rankins, if you think about improving this defense that Zimmer wanted to, and he made it plain and simple in offseason. And offensively, we know who they have, Jefferson Thielen, obviously Dalvin Cook in the backfield. Cousins gonna do all right. And then when you look at Tennessee, look, getting Julio was a big deal, y'all. It was huge. But I'm going to the other side of the ball because that's where my affinity is. Bud Dupree. You also signed Janoris Jenkins. You also brought in Danico Autry, who can rush the passer as well. So when you look at this squad, don't forget about how good they've been with that man in the backfield, Derrick Henry. All right, let's go to my Colts. This is the one for me. I will have my eyes squarely planted on the quarterback. We all know that Carson Wentz was brought in by Frank Reich to ascend this team and take them to another level. And that is what I hope to see from Carson Wentz. Because if they digress, if they go backwards, it will be squarely on Carson Wentz and Frank Reich. Already a good football team. And I know Rob is going to be happy with this one, the New England Patriots. And I don't know why the hell people not talking about them in their division. And I get it that the quarterback position is under question, but I will never in my career, as long as I'm on TV and while I was playing, doubt what Bill Belichick does and understands about the game. The ads that he made are championship caliber based on the type of coaching and atmosphere that they'll be in. Will it be Cam or will it be Mac Jones? All they need is a point guard and a facilitator. They don't need a top five quarterback in the NFL.
And this much we can count on, Swagoo. The Patriots are going to be playing angry this year after winning just seven games last season. But, Nink, as you look at the five teams on Swagoo's list, anything stand out to you?
The Minnesota Vikings, that's what stands out to me. I have no issues with any of the other teams. The Minnesota Vikings better be praying that Aaron Rodgers does not get back on the roster for the Green Bay Packers, because if he does, there's no chance for the Vikings to win the division. So I get it. Kirk Cousins, you like that. You like that. I don't like that that the Vikings are on that list. I have no issues with any of the other teams. I agree with the Patriots. I agree that the Colts have a chance. I agree that Tennessee has a shot. I don't think that the Vikings have a shot. And I'll give it to you, Arizona, with the moves that they have made, with the young quarterback, the defense. I hope they get Jones as a pass rusher this year. I know he's holding out as well. But the Vikings is the one team where I'm like, hold up, hold up, hold up. Because I forgot that they were still in the division. I forgot they were in the league. I thought they were, where were they at, the Vikings? I forgot about them, honestly.
Well, they were unrecognizable last year.
Sorry, Vikings fans.
With the way that they play defense. And you can also imagine Mike Zimmer's going to get that unit way back up to speed. We got some news here in NFL Live today, and this is some fun news from Adam Schefter, who tweeted a little while ago that the NFL approved alternate helmets today for teams wearing throwback uniforms starting in 2022, that according to league sources. This opens the door to the defending world champion Bucks wearing the old white helmets with the orange swashbuckling Buccaneer as early as 2022. I'm all in. Hey, the Patriots are one of the busiest teams in free agency this offseason, attacking early and often to land prize players on both sides of the ball. Amongst their marquee defensive pickups was former Ravens outside linebacker Matt Judon, the high-energy, ultra-versatile pass rusher. For more on Judon, we say hello to Mike Reese. Mike, how did Judon look at OTAs?
Field, here at the site of Patriots spring practices, Matt Judon was standing up at the line of scrimmage with other defenders. Some would rush, some would drop back. They were trying to confuse the offensive line, and Judon burst through an open rush lane and shut down the play with authority. Veteran safety Adrian Phillips was so excited, he leaped into the air, and he gave Judon a high five. "That's my guy," Phillips said. Well, the Patriots hope that Judon is a guy to help turn things around after paying him big bucks in free agency. They also have Dante Hightower back after a year, Kyle Van Noy back after a year in Miami, other new players and returning players. Defense looked a lot different this spring, Field.
Great stuff as always, Mike. So, Nink, you know this defense very well. You played in it for a long time. Can this team return to being one of the best defenses in the league in 2021?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yes, definitely. And the reason that I say that, last year when I watched this defense, I thought I was watching a hockey line change. There was always a new group coming out, first down, second down, third down, third and long. There was a new group of guys that would come out. And to build a great defense, you need to have a group of guys. You're always going to have some changing parts, especially from second to third down. But you usually have a group of guys that are first, second, and third down players. And when you can have that group, it keeps the defense together. And you have a few pieces coming on. They understand their roles. But last year, they had way too many moving parts. So now, adding Judon, adding some key pieces, Hightower coming back, Kyle Van Noy coming back, they're going to have a group of veteran guys, a group of guys that are going to stay on that field for first, second, and third down. And they're going to be a better unit for it. So I expect big things from this defense in 2021.
Yeah, Rob, that's a great point, man. The continuity and both of us playing in those 3-4 schemes, we understand the importance of not only those guys up front that's two-gapping, but you guys as outside linebackers and the impact that you can have, especially schematically with Bill Belichick and how he likes to run defense. Matthew Judon is a perfect fit for what they want to do. And when you look at this, and I show you exactly what I mean, it's not about all the time a guy having 15, 20 sacks. It's about awareness. You got to be a smart football player to play in Bill Belichick's defense. And this is Matthew Judon sniffing things out, reading keys, and being there to take Sterling Shepard down on a screen pass. This is the beautiful part of Bill Belichick. He's going to get this offensive line to slide all the way and create a one-on-one for Matt Judon against the Buffalo Bills, but you see the type of impact that these guys can have. I'm not talking about Matthew Judon lining down and just beating guys one-on-one and rushing the passer in those situations. But when you talk about an intelligence standpoint, an awareness standpoint, and a guy that takes full advantage of pressures and blitzes when he gets his matchups and opportunities, he's a perfect fit for what Bill Belichick is not trying to do in this 3-4 scheme.
And for the Patriots, it's not just about star power this year. It's also about layers of depth. They got plenty of pass rushers off the edge leading into 2021. So we're talking the Patriots here, and we can't end the segment without throwing it to a little who wore it best. A little history of the number 50 here. You guys may recall now Titans head coach Mike Vrabel kind of made number 50 cool back in New England. He cut touchdown passes and also had plenty of sacks along the way. And then a guy who'd been cut kind of nondescript from New Orleans and Miami. We always talk about Rob Ninkovich. Look at that guy looking like a stud. Turned out to be a great player from them. And then now, Mac Jones, a quarterback. That's right. Everybody's showing the Justin Fields wearing number one or Trevor Lawrence. Now you've got Mac Jones. And then how about this? Chase Winovich, outside linebacker, entering his third year alongside 50 Cent. All right, I'm going to hand it over to you, Nink. I know you can't see all these guys right now, but you can still state with confidence who wore 50 best in New England.
Well, I'm gonna have my respect for the guy that had it before me, so I'm going to go Mike Vrabel, because when I first arrived in New England, I knew that if I was blessed enough to get that number, I had some big shoes to fill. So Mike Vrabel, I would say, wore it best. Won three Super Bowls. Every single ball he caught offensively was a touchdown. I don't know how many touchdowns. I think he had like 12 touchdowns, something crazy. So Mike Vrabel wore it best. Then I'm going to say I wore it, second best. I would say I'm going to stick with the linebackers. I'm going to say Winovich is third best. And when you see a quarterback wearing number 50, it just looks wrong. It don't look right. So I'm sure when it comes down to the regular season, we won't see Mac Jones in a number 50 uniform. I can guarantee that.
Man, Swagoo, all these Patriots or former Patriots are being way too humble for my liking today. We got too many guys. Just you wore a best, Dinko. Rabel won't care. He might care a little
bit. Okay.
Babyface, what the hell they do? What they doing?
Yeah, they're being way too modest.
Patriot way over, man. You can say you wore it best.
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying, Swaggy. So we've decided to break out our most creative names for segments this year with It's Better, Worse, or the Same, a game in which we decide whether a team is better, worse, or the same. I had to think about that one for a while. We begin in Tennessee, where the big addition for the Titans this offseason was Julio Jones, but they also added several pieces on the other side of the ball, including Bud Dupree, Janoris Jenkins, and first-round pick Caleb Farley, plus Danico Autry. They did lose Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis, as well as cornerback Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler, who are both cut. Jadeveon Clowney is also gone after just one season as a Titan. A lot of activity, but I ask you first, Marcus, are the Titans better, worse, or about the same?
They are absolutely better, Phil. And it's because of what you just showed on the defensive side of the football. Obviously, we know about getting Julio Jones, but between Bud Dupree, who is a premium pass rusher, and Danico Autry, and you think about the guy they drafted in Caleb Farley, who might have been the best corner in the draft had it not been for a little back operation that he had. And we know Jack Rabbit is an elite defender on the outside, makes plays all over the field. But they needed pass rush, and they addressed it. And I believe they have a budding star as well that remains on this team in Jeffrey Simmons, who is a big physical interior pass rusher who can get to the quarterback but also demand a double team on the run. This defense got better, and that was the Titans' downfall. I expect them to be better this year as a whole, and it's not going to be such a cakewalk for the Colts in this division.
Swagoo, I agree with you. Marcus, I think that you are 100% correct. Where you can improve your defense and especially your pass rush, that is going to give your offense more touches. Yeah. And you know that Tennessee, with the amount of ground and pound with Henry and the ability to run the football and then mix in the play action pass, I think that adding a pass rush, helping the defense, last year they struggled getting to the quarterback. We all saw that. They were in the bottom of the league when it came to getting after opposing quarterbacks. So if they can increase their pressure statistics defensively, I think that they'll be a better team. So I agree. I think that they have improved this offseason, and I expect big things out of Tennessee this season.
Well, we all certainly can't wait to watch that offense. We'll move from Tennessee to Baltimore, where this offseason the Ravens look to address their wide receiver issues, signing Sammy Watkins in free agency and then drafting Rashad Bateman in the first round. They also retooled their offensive line. They traded away Orlando Brown Jr. They acquired Alejandro Villanueva and Kevin Zeitler. Of course, they also get back Ronnie Stanley. But they did lose a big piece on defense in Matt Judon. So, Nink, I ask you the same question. Are the Ravens better, worse, or about the same as where they were last year?
Look, that's a tough question. I'm going to go with they stayed the same. And I say that because you bring in an older receiver who isn't – he's not a young guy, right? Then you bring in a rookie, and it's hard for a rookie to come in and make a huge impact year one. I mean, look, a rookie's got to go through some bumps and bruises and learn the system and the speed of the NFL. So you look at the receiving core, they were lacking some weapons, and you get a little bit older receiver, you lose Snead, you get a young receiver and a rookie, but still, I think that addressing the offensive line things can help. But at the end of the day, it comes down to Lamar and how well can he perform in those situations. We saw it last year, you know, coming back against Cleveland when he came out of the tunnel and threw a touchdown pass. He's going to have to carry this team. We all know that. But I think they really stayed the same when I look at just their overall roster and what they did this offseason.
Yeah, I'm in agreeance with you, Rob, but staying the same means they're a playoff team again. So it's not all doom and gloom for the Baltimore Ravens. And when you think about what Rob just said, if Bateman or Sammy Watkins can increase production in the passing game, that will be tremendous for the Baltimore Ravens. But staying the same right now, because you do lose Yannick Ngakoue and Matthew Judon, who are two guys that could get after the passer, and your defense may take a hit as far as rushing the passer. But when you think about the Baltimore Ravens, all right, and I'm going to say this until the cows come home, if they can evolve the pass game and they at least made an attempt to get better at those positions between Rashad Bateman in the draft and Sammy Watkins coming over as a wily veteran. And Sammy played some really good football for Kansas City, so I don't want to throw Sammy Watkins out to the born, but he's definitely going to upgrade what they did at wide receiver. I think Baltimore stayed the same, but they have the potential of being better. It just depends on how fast those two guys come along in Sammy Watkins and Rashad Bateman.
Both those teams are, of course, chasing Kansas City in the AFC, and it was a very busy offseason for the Chiefs, who completely overhauled their offensive line, adding potentially three new starters there and getting right guard Laurent Duvernay-Tardif back after he opted out last year. However, they did lose former top overall pick Eric Fisher, cornerback Rashad Breeland, and we just talked about Sammy Watkins plus Mitchell Schwartz. So, Swaggy, will come right back to you. Are the Chiefs better, worse, or about the same?
The Chiefs are better, Phil. And one, the Chiefs are better because obviously they upgraded this offensive line. But I believe they also will be better because they acknowledge what happened to them last year in the Super Bowl. And even me, picking them to win the championship, knowing all I know about football, when they were trying to piece together an offensive line against the best defense in the NFL, I was stupid because I thought Patrick Mahomes could overcome that. But obviously, they self-evaluated. Understand when he's protected, you got a shot to win any game. When he's not, he's going to have to be Superman, and a lot of other things have to go well. I like Orlando Brown. I like Tooney coming over. And I like the fact that, don't miss this, Jaren Reed inside with Chris Jones will make a difference for this defense. I think that's a sneaky move throughout the whole NFL that people have not paid enough attention to. But Chris Jones with somebody next to him that can rush the passer and potentially occupy a double team will open up even more for him. This Jaren Reed signing could end up being one of the moves we look at down the road and say that was more impactful for the Kansas City Chiefs than a lot of other teams that made moves on defense being impactful for.
Yeah, Marcus, listen, I've been going back and forth on this. I know we were going through the meetings, and I said I was a little on the edge of if they – no, I'm going to go with – I understand a defensive lineman, and you see an offensive line, and you can never give them the credit they deserve. But when you get an offensive line and they did go out there and make some moves, you go get Tooney, you pay him a big contract. I know Long is having an issue right now with an injury, but you bring in a guy like Kyle Long, you address the tackle situation. I mean, look, if you give Patrick Mahomes just a half second more time, guess what? That Super Bowl is completely different. So I think that they did improve. And I was about to hate on the offensive lineman and say, no, they didn't improve. But they did improve. Look, they improved their offensive line. And then this is the one thing that I do love. And I was listening to a quote by Kelsey. And Kelsey said that all his accolades and all the stats that he had in 2020, it didn't matter because it was a failure. It was a failed season. Yep. And I love that attitude. Yep. So if everybody on that roster has that same mentality of last year was a failure, watch out. Because the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be out to seek and destroy.
I get the sense the Chiefs do very much share that mentality of getting back to where they were two seasons ago. New on NFL Live, we've got a story that's developing right now. As Adam Schefter tweeted not long ago, the Steelers have released longtime guard David DeCastro, a Pro Bowl player, an All-Pro player at his very best. He was due nearly $8.75 million in his contract this offseason. He did not participate in minicamp recently for the team. The team has recently visited with Trey Turner, another former Pro Bowl guard, so potentially a succession plan there. But interesting to note that the Steelers have yet another change coming along their offensive line. Carson Wentz and Frank Reich's relationship goes back to 2016 when the then Eagles offensive coordinator was scouting Wentz to be the quarterback of the Eagles. This offseason, the two were reunited after the Colts traded for Wentz. But Carson Wentz is looking for a fresh start in Indianapolis after a disastrous 2020 season. No quarterback in the league saw a larger drop-off in total QBR over the last two seasons than Wentz, who went from throwing 27 touchdowns and 7 interceptions in 2019 to just 16 touchdowns and a league-high 15 picks last year. It doesn't matter to Wentz's new teammate, Darius Butler, though, who had plenty of praise in a recent interview about this. When asked if Wentz is a guy that helped get to the Super Bowl, Leonard responded, "He's a monster, man. You would think he's been in this locker room for about 7 years. He has his presence about him and his leadership role, and that's what you need in a quarterback room. He came into a perfect place to have success. We believe in him, we know who he is, and we know what he can be. I can't wait to see what he and Coach Frank are going to step up and do." Swaggy, I'm going to ask you your thoughts in just a second, but we also say hello to Jeff Darlington for joining us for the latter parts of this show. But Swaggy, how important is this kind of praise from Carson Wentz's new team early on in the process?
I think it's very important. I think it's huge, Phil, because one, you build confidence with Carson Wentz and let him know that he's connecting with guys the right way, but also everybody knows the tumultuous season that he had in Philly. They know the reports. The players pay as much attention to the media and things that are being said as anybody, even though they try to pretend that they don't when they come on television. But the bottom line is for Darius Leonard to give Carson Wentz that type of stamp, especially early, as before they even get to training camp, is huge. Not only for Carson Wentz's confidence, but for Frank Reich to know that he brought a guy into the locker room that guys are starting to respect. Now, y'all know with Swaggy, it's always a caveat. All this talk is great in the preseason. All of it is wonderful. Everybody is shaking hands and giving dap and giving pound. But it's really going to boil down to how well Carson Wentz play. Because I tell people all the time, when people suck and they playing bad and teams are losing, don't nobody have no damn conversation about leadership and how good the locker room is. So hopefully this leads into success on the field so this kind of talk can continue.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8. SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah, look, I agree with you 100%. But at this situation right here of other players watching and seeing, you can see a quarterback and their head coach in OTAs at minicamp, and you can see that relationship. Usually, when you have a new quarterback and a new head coach and a new system, there's a little bit of time there, and it takes time to build that relationship. Well, guess what? Frank already has that relationship with his quarterback. So they already can go out and they can talk about plays. They can talk about certain things that they want to run. And you can just see and sense that. That's why you're seeing guys on that team say, seems like he's been here 7 years. Because he's come in comfortable because he's comfortable with the head coach. So I just think that it comes down to Frank Reich saying, listen, go out here, forget about Philly. Forget about the last couple years. Get back to having fun, running around like when you were in high school, having fun. You need to do it here with the Colts because I'm going to get you back to having fun and playing ball. So it's going to come down to that relationship, and I think guys can see that.
Yeah, Nick, you know when you talk to somebody who's in like a new marriage and it's like, hey, no, this marriage is going to work. We're happy. This is wonderful. I don't know what was wrong with the other person. Like, you know, there's a lot of cuddling going on and whatnot. And what happens when you throw a few kids in the mix? What happens when you throw a little turmoil in there? What happens then? You still happy then? That's the question here with Carson Wentz. I like the Frank Reich aspect of this. I think that is very pertinent and very important. But when I hear other teammates talk about Carson Wentz, look, I hope the marriage works out great. Everybody finds their true love. Maybe this is it for Carson Wentz. You know what I mean, Field?
And basically, that's what it boiled down to, Jeff. Like that's the God honest truth. We don't really know you until times of adversity, man. Like, I know my wife. And we think it's Steve, she's my best friend because we've been with each other through adversity. I know she ain't gonna hightail and
that's
run
right.
When things
are still
going
working,
wrong.
Swagoo.
Here's the deal, man. We will, exactly, we will find out when the season starts if Darius Leonard will keep the same energy as they go forward and hit some adversity. I believe they will. I believe Darius Leonard is telling the truth about how Carson Wentz has approached it. Carson acknowledged that he needed to do some things differently. But when the game starts, we will see when that adversity hits.
Nick, is that a hotel
plan? Jeff, when you started saying that, Jeff, when you started talking about the whole marriage thing, I wanted to get this plant. And I just wanted to hide behind the plant, right? I know what you're saying, all right? We put this plant down.
Oh, my
but
God.
But listen. Yeah,
hey, Swagoo never got traded away. He went through that turmoil with his wife.
Man, this who needs Dr. Phil when you've got NFL Live instead? I think probably the right thing to do here would be to move on. So we should just talk about quick reads and other stuff instead. We talked about Wentz as a bounce back candidate. Let's get into some other players who could be due for a bounce back. Nink, and your plans. Who's your pick for the bounce back player in 2021?
Look, I'm going with Dak. I think that Dak is coming off. Obviously, we all know that he had a serious injury last year. But guess what? When you have not only an injury, but yet you have a contract situation going on, that's like taking the weight vest off. So now he's got the contract. He's healthy. He's ready to go. Dak is going to have a heck of a season. I can't wait to see it.
Hey, Nick, speaking of new marriages, Jared Goff with a new partner there in Detroit. Let's see how this one works out. Look, I think that this is a good thing for Jared. I think that he's going to come in here and embrace this moment. I know that he is in good spirits already. I've talked to him about it plenty. Look, I want to see a bounce back year from Jared Goff, and I think Detroit fans will see exactly that.
And listen, guys, for me, it's Khalil Mack. And it's not because Khalil Mack hasn't played really good football. He's still a top-level outside linebacker in this league. But Khalil Mack needs to get back in those double-digit sack areas. I'm only focusing on that. He had 8.5 in 2019, 9 in 2020. I'm sure if you ask Khalil Mack, he wants to have more impact in getting back to causing forced fumbles that returns for touchdowns. I expect Khalil Mack to be hovering around 15, 16 sacks this year in the NFL.
There you have it, your bounce back candidates for 2021. Cap constraints forced the Saints to say goodbye to cornerback Janoris Jenkins this offseason as the team had to get rid of a starter from one of its most dominant units. The Saints' pass defense was lights out last year. They allowed an average of just 3.01 yards of separation, the best in the NFL according to Next Gen Stats. Opponents completed just 60% of passes against the Saints, the second lowest number in the league. And even when teams did complete passes, they didn't go far. Just the fourth fewest yards after the catch allowed. But Mickey Loomis, their GM, has his sights set even higher for 2021, saying, quote, "I'm glad that we have high expectations. We didn't have high expectations 20 years ago when we first arrived, but we do have high expectations now, and rightfully so. That's what we want. We want to have a high bar. We want to strive to achieve that. We'd love to have another corner in the building and create some depth. I like the guys we've got, but I think that's one of those positions that you can never have enough. We're just so limited in terms of what we can do. We're still looking, and if something that presents itself that we can boost that position or another one, we'll do everything we can to make that move." That was according or via WWL Radio. All right, Jeff, so it's late June. Who's still out there available for the Saints who they could be looking at this offseason?
Yeah, this is interesting. Mickey Loomis being pretty honest there. Obviously, they have Marshawn Lattimore there, but they would like to add more players into the mix. And we do have Richard Sherman. He's obviously the big name that continues to be linked to the Saints. Dre Kirkpatrick actually did come in for a visit, ultimately left without a deal, but I'd keep his name on your minds as well with the Saints. I can't help but, beyond the names that we're seeing on the screen, help but think about maybe a potential trade. And I'm being speculative here. I'm not trying to report anything, but when you see guys like Stephon Gilmore, Xavien Howard in Miami that are dealing with potential contract holdouts, hey, that's a thought too. Sean Payton tried to move into the top 10 to draft a cornerback. We know how much they want that position. They didn't ultimately get him there. I just think that this is a team that ultimately, as the season gets closer, will take a good hard look at some really big moves.
And as we know, NFL roster building is a 365-day-a-year exercise. But, Nick, we'll go to you now. What's more concerning, the retooling of the defense or Jameis / Taysom Hill taking over the offense?
I think I got to go with the offense. And I've said this in the past. You don't want to be the guy after the guy. Mm. And if you're a quarterback starting for the Saints, you're coming in after Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame quarterback. So whoever is in the starting spot come week one, they're going to be under a lot of pressure. I mean, look, you could replace it. You could have extra depth in the DB room. You're going to have good pass rush because you're in the dome and it's super loud. But having great quarterback play, now that is going to be hard to find when you've had a guy like Drew Brees for many, many years.
Yeah, Nick, you're right. I'm not concerned about the defense. If I had any concern about the defense, it would be their first-round pick, Marcus Davenport and Peyton Turner coming in. Which one of those guys opposite of Cam Jordan is going to step up and be that rush that Trey Hendrickson provided last year, Mina Kimes' favorite D lineman. But offensively is obviously where the eyes will be square on the New Orleans Saints. And look, here's one thing I do know. Jameis has been the guy before, and it seems to me that Sean Payton has something in him that wants to prove to this league and everybody else that Jameis Winston is an elite-level starter as long as he can cut down turnovers. And I think we all agree that all of the tools and mechanisms are there that he needs to be in that conversation. And when you think about where they are now, and you have these questions going on about quarterback, so if Jameis starts, does Taysom Hill get disgruntled, or does Taysom Hill accept the role that he's been in? Do you deal with some allegiances in the locker room to Taysom Hill because he's been there? It's a lot of thinking that needs to go into this decision at QB. Now, I personally believe it'll be Jameis Winston. I believe Jameis will benefit from sitting out a year away from football and turn down the turnovers. And don't sleep on the New Orleans Saints, man. I'm telling y'all, do not sleep on them. I know Tampa is the love language right now, but the Saints will have something to say about the NFC South.
Yeah, Marcus, I agree with you. I think that they are going to be a very tough team to deal with. But I think my biggest concern is in years past, Sean Payton would come to the sideline and Drew Brees would run off to him and say, man, we should have checked into this. And Drew or Sean would look down into his big call sheet with his glasses on. He'd flip him up, say, you know, you're right. He's not going to have that anymore. So he's going to have to adjust to having quarterbacks on his roster that aren't Drew Brees.
Man, I loved everything that Marcus said until he told me that the Bucs are now in jeopardy of losing the division to the Saints. I mean, come on, Marcus. Let's talk, Swagger.
That's a lie.
I know you got the crystal ball, but are you kidding me?
Don't lie on me, Jeff.
Well, if nothing else,
I got nothing else to say, man.
They gonna have something to say about it.
Talk is cheap.
I said they gonna have something to say about it, and they should know that. The Bucs should know that as well, that the New Orleans Saints will not go quietly into the night because they the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and reigning Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, well,
the Bucs
will look to become the kings of the NFC South this year, not just the defending Super Bowl champions. As always, we've got time for one more thing to close out the show today. And what's better than Travis Kelce as a coach at Tight End University? Travis Kelce near Mike at Tight End University.
First off, thank you guys all so much for coming to this.
Yeah!
We have 49 tight ends in attendance, which I think is a pretty incredible...
Let's go! Yeah!
Thank you for willing to be a part of this.
Let's go!
Hey, Swagoo, do you regret transitioning from tight end to defensive line? Because if you had kept with it, you could have been there this week.
Hell yeah, I regret it. You see how much fun they had? I think Kelce stepped off the plane like that, though. They know what's popping down there. Listen, tight end you, D-line you, that's a damn party. That's an excuse for those guys to get together to have a party.
22 off-season plans.
I got no issue
NFL
with it.
Live, back tomorrow.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks... imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.